Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel. I'm a dentist practicing here in San Antonio, and you're listening to the Dr. Staffel program, and your smile matters. And we try to give you knowledge and service and bring things to light that you probably are not going to hear in ordinary literature or media or programs or so on. So we try to bring things that have a oral component, an oral health component, as well as a general health component, and bring you information that is really valuable knowledge. And thank you so much for listening. I will not disappoint you with the material. We have a great program today. And I have no guests, so the phone lines are certainly welcome. That's 599-5555. And we're on KTSA 550 AM dial, and we're at 107.1 FM. So keep that in mind. We're on every Sunday, 4 to 5. And we always have a lot of material to cover and frequently have a pretty good or very good guests, things that are really helpful and powerful to your health and getting healthy. And so we have a podcast, free podcast, that address is staffelDDS.podomatic.com. My name is spelled S-T-A-F-F, as in Frank, E-L, S-T-A-F-F-E-L, DDS.podomatic.com. And we have over 8 years archived, a lot of interesting guests, a lot of interesting material, and we're adding to that every week. And so a website is sanantoniodentist.net. So don't hesitate to look those up if you want additional information. Again, no guests today, but you had the call in. You had the open lines here at KTSA 550 AM, 107.0 FM. The number being 599-5555. Now, the first segment that I want to talk about is a public service announcement, mainly. Let's see. I have a caller already. Let me go to my first caller. How are you?
Just fine, sir. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. How may I help you?
Well, I'm very ashamed of it, but I have let my dental health go.
Don't be ashamed. Really. Please, please do not be ashamed.
I'm 57 years old, and I've let it go bad.
That's all right. You, the fact that you've made a call and looking to turn things around, you don't look back and let those things eat you up. So I'm glad you called. Okay, how can I help you?
Well, the thing about it is that I've got a bunch of missing teeth, broken teeth, and rotted teeth and such. And I've noticed over the years that my blood pressure has, I got a blood pressure problem. And
how bad? How many different blood pressure pills do you take?
Just one. But the thing about it is that, I used to weigh almost 500 pounds, and I had stomach surgery for the weight loss and such, and I'm down to 260.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And the thing about it is that when I was that weight, my blood pressure was perfect. I mean, it was unreal. I lost all my weight, and now I'm on blood pressure medicine. But I'm just thinking, I know it has a lot, and it has a lot to do with my teeth because I feel bad all the time. I just feel terrible. And well, I know there's crud going into my body that's making me feel like this.
The bacteria that live in these infected teeth, they're not only bacteria, they're viruses, they're spirochetes, is quite considerable. So you're exactly right. And that's the way to start unraveling this. First thing is to get a really good diagnosis and find out what you're up against, and then find out what your costs are going to be and how you can segmentally work your way through this. And don't beat up on yourself or make yourself feel bad. That's not where we want to go. We want to move ahead. and get you healthy as can be. You're still a young person. You have many, many years ahead of you. And we're here to help you. Let us help you.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because I would like to get in to see you. Okay. And you and Dr. Stafford, or Staffel, and or your, I should say, your associate. But
yes.
I went to a couple of the dentists that prescribed that all in one deal and this, that, and the other. And that's something that I was thinking about doing. But I need to get somebody that's going to take care of my health with it.
We can do that.
And not just go ahead and say, okay, this is what you need. This is what we're going to do and be done with it. And that's it. So.
Well, we can help you. We really can. And the fact that you've made the first step to reach out and start getting healthy again and getting your oral health up and running, it's marvelous. And there are a lot of pathways. You know, you're not stuck into any one pathway as far as getting everything restored. And so the first thing is getting rid of infection and inflammation, and then you can move on from there. You can take your own time. You can take 2 or 3 years if necessary to get everything up to date. So give us a call. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel, and my number is 210-341-2569. And we'll be glad to give you an estimate and give you a fantastic diagnosis. I mean, when you finish with our examination, you'll know everything there is to know about your oral health.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because, you know, I want a dentist that, and a doctor that wants to, you know, right, actually say, okay, this is what needs to be done, but we're going to go, we need to get this taken care of first.
Right.
And then work our way towards what needs, because
yes,
I've got a partial, and it now, my partial is starting to hurt when it hits down in the bottom where I'm missing all those teeth. And
okay,
it's like, God, you know, so, and I'm continuously going to the, you know, a dentist or whatever to get, an antibiotic, because I'm having so many infections.
That's not good.
You know, yeah.
Oh, so, goodness, that is not good. An antibiotic for a mouth problem like that, a sore mouth, not good.
Exactly.
So, all right, let us help you.
Okay, sir.
It's so important to follow up through this, and you'll learn so much when we make your examination and give you the information. We'll help you through this information and how it relates to your oral health. I mean, your general health. Now, one thing, has fear kept you away from having attention?
Well,
do we need to address the fear?
I had a dentist years ago, years and years ago when I was a young kid, and the man was so rough.
Okay.
And that's basically, he scared the hell out of me as far as dentists were after that.
Well, that'll never happen again. Never. That's a good thing. We have the most gentle and the most comfortable presentation and treatment, dental treatment in the city, I'll tell you. And we do that through the new fabulous NuCom anti-anxiety system, and we have other anti-anxiety and other anti-fear methods that just keep you comfortable as can be. All right, sir. Thank you. So, what is your first name?
Herb.
Herb. Okay, Herb. Thank you so much for calling, and we'll look forward to hearing from you.
Okay, Dr. Staffel. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, thank you for calling.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now, the first segment is a public service announcement, and this is about tick-borne diseases. And tick-borne diseases are on the rise. And prevention should be on everyone's mind, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So you're wondering, well, what are you talking about tick-borne diseases on a dental show? Well, we're going to talk about that. We dentists are into screening, and in my office, we're really into screening for these particular types of things, and for the general health, and each year more than 30,000 cases of Lyme disease are reported nationwide. And while studies suggest the actual number of people diagnosed with Lyme disease is more likely to be about 300,000 people, according to the CDC website. Dentists can help as a patient may present with non-specific oral facial pain and headaches that can mimic temporomandibular joint pain. And at my office, the office of Dr. Staffel and Associates, we screen for possible Lyme disease when symptoms may present, and we can follow up the screening to proper medical attention and testing. And typical symptoms are going to include fever, headache, fatigue, and a characteristic skin rash. If left untreated, infection can spread to your joints, the heart, and the nervous system. For more information, you can call our office, Dr. Staffel, and Associates at 210-341-2569, or visit the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website, which is cdc.gov/ticks. Now, the tie-in to dental pain, in summary, symptoms of oral facial pain that don't fit into a dental diagnostic slot, and that may include fever, headache, fatigue, and a characteristic skin rash, this can be a source of Lyme disease. And if the numbers are correct, where the CDC is saying that there are possibly 300,000 cases of the Lyme disease that are reported, 30,000 are reported, but the CDC says it's more like 300,000. If those numbers are correct, we have a major epidemic on our hands, and this is also, we found them into apparently all states of the United States. It's not just Connecticut where it was first picked up in Lyme, Connecticut. It's just all over, and especially the South and the West and so on. So this is some of the things that we look at real carefully because it can be debilitating for people, and fortunately there are solutions. If you catch it early, the solutions are very good with antibiotics. If it's caught after it's been around for a long time, and I have one patient who had a terrible time, with the brain fog for 2 years, and he finally diagnosed it himself and was able to bring that to a conclusion. So, summary, symptoms of oral facial pain that don't fit into the dental diagnostic slot that may include fever or headache or fatigue and a characteristic skin rash. If you have any of these, you want more information, give us a call. Our number is 210-341-2569. And this is the type of thorough dental screening you'll find at our dental office. That's Dr. Staffel and Associates. Now, if you are a regular listener, you already know how thoroughly we screen for sleep disordered breathing, which is a cause of medical and dental problems of epidemic proportions. And we're a source of knowledge and service for this as well. And we're dedicated to helping you find a pathway to health and anti-aging through the oral cavity and oral health. And we're taking healing to a new level. So, if you've been following with the sleep disordered breathing, you know from the numbers we have a major, major epidemic that's causing huge medical problems that are being treated by pharmaceuticals when actually it's more of a mechanical problem of the way the throat is designed or the way the throat has developed into closure. So this is something that I started screening really completely since last October, and what we're finding, I've been making dental appliances that treat sleep apnea for a long time, since the 70s, mid-70s. And the research that's coming out now through the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine is huge. The research that's coming out is so very, very informative and helpful. And the numbers are in the millions that people have this problem and are not being treated, and they're having comorbidities. That means they have medical problems that could be corrected by correcting this particular problem of breathing effectively at night. And that's since I really doubled down and started doing thorough examinations and have trained my hygienists to do the same. And they're so good at it, and I do this as well. And we have this little device. It's a screening device, because in Texas, dentists cannot diagnose, but we can screen to find out if you need further attention from a medical doctor. So we have this little device, and it's like a wristwatch with a finger oximeter. Finger oximeter, and you put that on and you sleep with that 2 nights, and it gives us a lot of valuable information, like how much your oxygen saturation is dropping below the threshold of 94%. That's important because your brain picks up when it drops below 94%, and it starts waking you up and keeps you awake as long as that number is down below 34%. That's percent oxygen of 100%. So we make this free of charge with our examination with a regular medical examination, a regular dental examination. We just, that's paid for, will include the free screening device that you sleep with it 2 nights in a row, and that'll give us a lot of screening information on how serious the problem is, and do you need to follow up with a medical doctor and go through that diagnosis and treatment. So I've been through this myself, and it was quite revealing. And when I discovered that I had a problem in October, and then I got my CPAP device in January, it's made a huge difference in the way I feel, and it's taken me about 6 months to accommodate to that breathing mask, but there are other methods as well. There are mandibular advancement dental devices, we call it, and these are devices that we make and a dentist can make, and it advances the mandible to move the back of the throat tissue, the soft palate, to a level of breathing efficiency, and that's available as well. There are certain caveats that go with that, because these are orthodontic appliances and they have to be pretty carefully followed and monitored, but they're very effective and can make for a lot of comfort, and especially since you don't have to have any heavy appliances to lug around or sleep with or travel with. So and the diagnosis is everything, and the diagnosis can only, and I repeat, only come from a medical doctor, a sleep doctor who is board certified, best to have him board certified in sleep medicine, internal medicine, sleep doctor, and they can make the diagnosis in Texas. A dentist cannot make that diagnosis. We can only screen and point you in the right direction. And then we can, at times, with the mandibular advancement device, have a solution for this as well. We can give you a lot of information for that. So if that's something that you've been told you're snoring, or you just feel fatigued all the time, and you've been observed holding your breath, give us a call. That's Dr. Staffel and Associates, and our number is 210-341-2569. 210-341-2569. Now then, the next segment, and this is going to be. Or wait a minute, before I start the next segment, let me tell you about this. That the dental school may be a good place for you to go because they offer training in all the dental specialties as well as advanced general dentistry, and the care provided in conjunction with this training is done at reduced fees. So the dental school, we have a brand new state-of-the-art dental school, and you can get referrals into their specialty clinics. Between the dentist as well as general dentist as well as resident in training. And the only problem is they have limited opening because you've got to fit into their program and you've got to show up at their time. So you don't have a very flexible schedule. But it's something that the dental school clinics that can be helpful with people with certain needs, with money needs. So, now the next segment is pretty interesting. It is very interesting. Not pretty interesting. It is very, very interesting. And don't hesitate to call in. The lines are open. The number is 599-5555, and don't hesitate to call in. I'll be happy to take your call and give you information that you can help process and use on your way to oral health and systemic health. And this next segment that I'm going to talk about is just that. And I want you to really pay attention to this because you're talking about epidemics. We have a major, major, major epidemic of this particular problem. And the title of it is The Association Between Human Papilloma Virus and Oral Health. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this segment. Now, the authors of this is Christina Demopoulos. She's a DDS, and she's a faculty at the member of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Dental Medicine. And another author is Tana Stewart. She's a PhD. She's a professor in the Department of Informatics and Information Systems Services at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. And Marcia Dittmer, PhD. She's an assistant dean for the assessment and instruction for an associate professor in residence at the University of Las Vegas School of Dental Medicine. So they put together a comprehensive article, and I'm going to take this information and bring this to you because this is huge. This is really huge. And again, I want you to listen very carefully to this segment. The human papilloma virus. It is one of the most common sexually transmitted infections in the United States. It is so common, in fact, now listen to this. It is so common, in fact, that nearly all sexually active men and women will be infected at some point in their lives. Now, this is not all men and women. This is nearly all sexually active men and women. Now, how is this possible? What kind of statement is that? That seems to be an outrageous statement. But the article authors, Dr. Demopoulos, Dr. Stewart, and Dr. Dittmer, they present a compelling case. So let's look at the numbers and see what they're talking about. First of all, the human papilloma virus of the oral cavity can occur when the virus enters the body, and it's usually through a cut or a small tear inside the squamous cells, that's the skin of the oral cavity lined by mucous membranes, such as the inner aspects of the mouth, the throat, the tongue, or tonsils. Transmission occurs when these areas come in contact with the virus. Now, oral human papilloma virus is associated with a variety of oral lesions, cancers of the mouth, and oral pharyngeal cancers. The leading cause of oral pharyngeal cancer is a human papilloma virus, resulting in approximately 72% of oral pharyngeal cancer in men, and 63% of these oral pharyngeal cancers in women. Overall, oral cavity cancer, the oral cavity has steadily decreased in the United States since 1973, and that's a result of the diminution of the smoking. That is, oral cancer of the oral cavity has steadily decreased because of the diminution of smoking since 1973. However, the prevalence of oral pharyngeal cancer has increased. Now, let me explain what that is. We're talking about oral cancer, which is just anywhere in the tissues of the mouth. It can be the gums, the tongue, the lips, the palate, where these are areas that we'll see oral cancer. And every time you come into our office, for instance, in most dental offices, they're going to do a very thorough oral cancer exam. That's one of the reasons you want to go to the dentist pretty regularly, is for this oral cancer exam. So the prevalence, however, of oral pharyngeal cancer has increased. Now, oral pharyngeal cancer is the part of the throat way in the back when you look in the mouth and the pharynx, which is the back part of the throat. This is where the oral pharyngeal cancer has increased. Now, this may be due to the increasing prevalence of human papilloma virus. And the human papilloma virus strains 16 and 18 are considered the high risk and are most associated with oral human papilloma virus. Now, along this line, and it's this is from a patient of mine who's head of the major cancer, one of the major cancer centers here in San Antonio, says that they never used to see oral pharyngeal cancer, or it's pretty rare that they'd ever see oral pharyngeal cancer in men. And then the last time I had a report on this, about 2 years ago, he says that they're seeing 3 men a week with oral pharyngeal cancer. That's cancer in the back of the throat. This was unheard of 30 years ago. And I need to get an update to see what the numbers are now, because the numbers are increasing quite rapidly. So this is turning into a monster epidemic. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about oral pharyngeal cancer, which is associated with the human papilloma virus, and we're also talking about oral cavity cancer, which is everything other than the back of the mouth, the pharynx of the mouth. The oral cavity cancer has steadily decreased since 1973. However, the oral pharyngeal cancer has increased. So, each day, approximately 12,000 individuals between the ages of 15 and 24 are affected with human papilloma virus. Now, here's a stunning number. And about 23 million people in the United States have an oral human papilloma virus infection on any given day. Keep in mind, 23 million people in the United States on any given day have an oral human papilloma virus infection. Now, 23 million out of 300 million, that's an epidemic. That is huge. Just huge. And like the author said, the numbers are growing so rapidly that all sexually active men and women sometime in their lifetime are going to be hit with this infection. The infection is about 3 times more common in men than it is in women. Now, of this 23 million who have an oral human papilloma virus infection on any given day, of these approximately 230,000 are the human papilloma virus strain 16 and strain 18. Now that's going to be a significant number and an important number because these can be vaccinated against and you can prevent getting this human papilloma virus strain 16 and 18 with a vaccination. So, while the incidence of conventional tobacco-associated squamous cell carcinoma, and that's usually what's in the mouth and tongue and bottom of the mouth and cheek and palate, while that cell, squamous cell carcinoma, has decreased over the past 30 years, the incidence of oral cavity cancer and other head and neck cancers has increased. And this is attributed to social behaviors, especially in adolescence, leading to the numbers of the HPV, the human papilloma virus infections. Now, the human papilloma virus affects approximately 80 million Americans. Now, that's a stunning number. The human papilloma virus, according to these authors and the CDC, affects approximately 80 million Americans. And each year, nearly 14 million individuals become infected with human papilloma virus causes, and that causes 30,700 occurrences of cancer annually in the United States. Now, keep in mind, the human papilloma virus is associated with the cause of cancer. You can have the human papilloma virus and not have oral cavity cancer or oral pharyngeal cancer, but the odds are and the numbers are pretty stunning. So, again, the human papilloma virus affects approximately, according to the authors and the CDC, 80 million Americans, and each year nearly 14 million individuals become infected. And so you can see why the statement was made that sexually active people in their lifetime, sometime in their lifetime, will be infected by a human papilloma virus. So, the human papilloma virus causes 30,700 occurrences of cancer annually in the United States, including cancer of the vagina, the vulva, the penis, the anus, the rectum, and the oropharynx. Now, here's the key thing. The human papilloma virus vaccination can prevent most of these cancers. The human papilloma virus is the leading cause of oral pharyngeal cancer and contributes to a smaller number of the oral cavity cancer cases. In 2017, the number of new human papilloma virus related oral pharyngeal cases, now that's the back of the throat, is expected to rise to 49,670. Now, it's 50,000. It's expected to rise. The number of HPV-related cases is expected to rise to a little less than 50,000. And then, on top of this, the mean age at diagnosis is 62 years old. Now, the number of cases in young adults and adolescents is on the rise. And although the death rate from oral cavity cancer has remained at approximately 57%, that is, when you get oral cancer, the death rate has been pretty much the same for 50 years. It hasn't changed much. And right now it's at 57% if you have oral cavity cancer. Now, we're not talking about oral pharyngeal cancer. We're talking about oral cavity cancer. The death rate from that remains at 57%. So it's one of the most deadly cancers that has not improved. And we don't know why it hasn't improved, possibly because people aren't going to the dentist to get their oral cancer exam, and so they let these things go, and once they get established, the oral cavity is a very rich area, tremendous blood supply, tremendous, well, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to talk to a cancer specialist as to why the survival rate of oral cavity cancer is so poor. 57%. The death rate for oral cavity cancer has remained at approximately 57%. That's unheard of. And it's been that this number for 50 years is from what I understand. Now I'll get a oral cancer specialist on my radio show to talk about this in detail, because this is so huge. This is unreal that we have all of these potential problems developing. And they're really, really developing in the younger age group. And that's where it really gets, has to be recognized that each day approximately 12,000 individuals, 12,000 each day, between the ages of 15 and 24 are affected with human papilloma virus, and about 23 million have an oral human papilloma virus infection on any given day. So at that rate, if each day you've got 12,000 individuals between the ages of 15 and 24 are being affected by the virus, and about 23 million already have an oral HPV infection on any given day, when you extrapolate these numbers, that's where you come up with the statement that sexually active people in their lifetime are going to be associated with this, and especially that 62 is the mean age at diagnosis of the oral pharyngeal cases. So you're starting to see the numbers, and this is a preventable problem with a vaccine. So bringing this to your attention, bringing this to your mind, because we all have young people that we're associated with or have contact with, either children, grandchildren, or friends or neighbors or so on. And this information, it's important that this information get out, and dentists are trying hard to get this out, and that's why we do such a careful examination in our office of oral cancer, and oral cancer, the oral cavity as well as oral pharyngeal cavity, and we're doing that at the same time as the sleep disordered breathing. So there's a lot going on in a complete thorough examination. And then we're looking for infection, we're looking for inflammation, and when you put off going to the dentist and you think, well, I've been okay for all this length of time. It's not a problem. I brush my teeth, so on. This is a whole new picture. And we'll try to put this, I'm going to have more programs on this and putting this whole oral health thing into perspective. Because too many people do not respect the problem that these viruses and these bacteria create in the oral cavity. And as dentists, we see it, and we know what we can do. We know what to do about it. And typically, the HPV virus, the human papilloma virus, we'll see a little growth on the gum tissues. We'll see a little growth in the tissue in the back of the throat. It's not unusual to see tissue changes in the mouth with this human papilloma virus. And so when we see that and we see a suspicious area, we immediately biopsy it and send it to an oral pathologist. And we have a great one at the great group at the dental school, and they can tell us for sure what this is. But by one study, 70% of all oral pharyngeal cancers are attributable to the human papilloma virus. With 60% out of that 70% being attributed to the human papilloma virus types 16 to 18, while 6% can be attributed to human papilloma virus types 31, 33, 45, 52, and 58. So here you get the idea, and you can see that you have two that are terribly risky and cause cancer. They're associated with cervical cancer in women. They're associated with oropharyngeal cancer in men. Oropharyngeal, remember, that's the back of the throat. Used to never see it. Now cancer people are seeing it every week in men, three or more, and that's just one cancer treatment center. I don't know what the numbers are countrywide. But the point that I just read, you have strains 31, 33, 45, 42, or 52 and 58. There are a lot of strains of human papilloma virus. So this thing has been migrating, and it's been changing its form over many, many, no telling how long. So early detection of the oral cavity cancer is key to reducing the morbidity. And even though it can be hidden, and it can be, one of the cancer people that I talked to said they think that it's sort of like the shingles, it's a virus that hides in the nerves as for much as maybe 30 years. So this human papilloma virus could be likened to how the shingles virus sits quietly in the nerves, and then all of a sudden, especially after the age of 50, it breaks out, and bingo, you've got shingles, which is a form of course, chickenpox. So the last thing that I heard about it, and I have to check up on this to get an update, that they think that the human papilloma virus sits and waits in the nerves. And you can pick this up, and like the young people now that are being exposed to this, and especially each day, 12,000 individuals between the ages of 15 and 24 are affected with HPV. And about 23 million of these have an oral HPV infection on any given day. So what's happening is the young people, if they're not getting vaccinated, that is the people, individuals between the ages of 15 and 24, they are getting devastated by this virus and coming up on a horrendous epidemic. Just horrendous. Now, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration licensed human papillomavirus quadrivalent vaccines in 2006 to protect against HPV 6, 11, 16, and 18. The vaccine was aimed at preventing cervical cancers and genital warts in women and girls. In 2009, the FDA licensed a bivalent vaccine to protect against HPV 16 and 18 in women and girls, and maintain the quadrivalent vaccine for men to prevent genital warts. The 9-valent vaccine was approved for both males and females in 2014. The 9-valent HPV includes HPV types in the quadrivalent HPV vaccines 6, 11, 16, and 18 in 5 additional oncogenic types 31, 33, 45, 52, 58. So fortunately, the solution can be a vaccination. And the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends that routine human papillomavirus vaccination be initiated at age 11 or 12 for girls and boys. Now, a few years back, when Governor Rick Perry was in office, he proposed this and really created a storm of controversy. But here we are several years later, and we're seeing some pretty tough solutions here. Vaccination is also recommended for females between 13 to 26 and males age 13 to 21 who have not been vaccinated previously. In 2016, new recommendations in support of a two-dose schedule for girls and boys who initiate the vaccine series between the ages of 9 and 14 were published. 3 doses are recommended for those who initiate the vaccine series at age 15 to 26, and for immunocompromised individuals, vaccination is also recommended up to age 26 for men who have sex with men. Vaccination is also recommended up to age 26 for men who have sex with men and for immunocompromised individuals, including those with the HIV virus, if not vaccinated previously. The vaccines are most effective when given to children before they become sexually active. They are not recommended for those with a history of severe allergic reactions to any human papillomavirus vaccine components, or women who are pregnant. So, here we are. Human papillomavirus affects approximately 80 million Americans, and each year, 14 million become infected. So that's why they say, and you have 30,700 occurrences of cancer annually in the United States from the HPV. And so, that number is growing. It's expected from 30,700 to grow to 50,000. So what's the deal with all of this? What's the solution? First of all, the solution is not to be sexually active. And that's a problem in this day and time. And another pathway or solution is, of course, to be vaccinated. The vaccinations, have been demonstrated. They've been around for a long time. Their effectiveness has been demonstrated. That is something that you have to make a decision as a parent that you would start vaccinating your children at age 11 or 12. The initial vaccination at 11 or 12 for girls and boys. It's also recommended for females age 13 to 26 and males age 13 to 21 who have not been vaccinated previously. So this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, an enormous epidemic that we have among many epidemics, but this one of oral cancer of the oral cavity and oral pharyngeal cancer of the mouth, plus other parts of the body, cervical cancer of women, and other parts of the body, and it's just growing out of hand, and It looks like probably our culture is maybe going along with this. It's a tough problem. So, be sure and call in if you have any comments or questions. The number is 599-5555. We have a major problem on our hands, and vaccination is a solution for protecting these young people. Even though, and that's what's so interesting, that the average age of diagnosis is age 62. I think that's very interesting. And like cancer oncologist told me that the reason for that, they think it is a virus that a person is exposed at a young age, and it sits and hides in the nerve tissue or some tissue and breaks out at this age of 62. So the big point and the big takeaway point for this is it is more important than ever before to have a thorough, complete dental examination. And we had a patient who the patient didn't feel comfortable filling out a health history. And a health history is something that we are required to do by the State Board of Dental Examiners. And it's for a person that when a person is asked to fill out a health history, it's for their own benefit. It's huge when you're looking at numbers like this. And so the point that I'm trying to make is that you really need to have a complete and thorough dental examination, because your health is on the line here. Things are moving so fast. I don't know if you got a hold of these numbers, and I'll talk about these some more. And you can go to the website. The website is, let's see, what is the website? The website is CDC. Where did I write it? Anyway, you can go to the CDC and look up the HPV, and you should be able to track it down from there. So early detection is the key to reducing this monster of a epidemic. And you really need to consider vaccination. And, of course, you know it's a tough decision when you're vaccinating young women ages 11 and 12. And that creates a lot of problems, but at the same time, this thing is really, really out of control and has potential to create havoc with this country and our young people. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you look this up and catch it on my free pod site. It's so important that you be informed about things like this. We have many more things of great importance. You don't want to miss this show. Sundays, 4 to 5, KTSA. 550 AM and 107.1 FM, because we have so much information. You're not going to hear this on television. You're not going to hear this on the radio, except this station and so many other things, just like the Lyme disease. We've got so much more information.